to have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are free from the duality of delusion, and they engage themselves in my devotional service with determination. So please repeat. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and this life. And whose sinful actions are completely eradicated.
And whose sinful actions
are completely eradicated.
Are freed from the dualities of delusion.
Are free from the dualities of delusion.
And they engage themselves in my service with determination.
And they engage themselves in my service with determination.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada's purport.
Yes, just I can remind everybody to mute.
Muting.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. Oh, that's nice and quiet. Thank you. Purport. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously, and who have conquered sinful reactions can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is a process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Verse 2, that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahat sevam dvaram ahur vimukte. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Tamo dvaram yoshitam sangi sangam. All of the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. I want to repeat that. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Maha. So, it's interesting how the purport Srila Prabhupada mentions four classifications of persons who cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those that are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful. Atheists will claim with a passion that there is no God. And just as Krishna
Ramananda Guru.
Yeah.
Can somebody mute free conferencing? Somebody's got some horrible background.
Sure, I'm going to mute everybody on free conferencing. Okay, so the only person that's unmuted is myself. A reminder that if anybody needs to unmute themselves, just press star 6 and then shouldn't have any problem. So atheistic persons will passionately claim that there is no God. I was looking at a debate recently between some Christians and Muslims high up in their respective organizations, debating on television in England with a girl from the secular society. And the gentleman that was representing Islam was very passionate, and he was talking about abortion, saying how sinful it was, and how he believes that any aborted babies will immediately go to heaven. And then the atheist girl, she immediately says, "Oh, then we're doing them a favor." And he kind of blushed, and he said, "No, that's not what I'm saying." And then she shoots back and says, "Look, the reason why we don't accept religion, we don't believe in God, is because we don't believe in things that can't be proved, and we don't want to be stupid." So Krishna is saying that in order to understand the truth, as I pointed out here, punya means pious, or it means living in truth. In order to understand the absolute truth, one has to have certain qualifications. Otherwise, his or hers material senses will not be able to perceive the transcendence. It's just like if you want to see something very, very tiny, you have to have a certain type of apparatus. You have to have a microscope, and then you can see these tiny little microbes that you can't see with your naked eye. Or if you want to see something that's very far away, you look in a telescope, and then you can see planets and stars very far away. You have to have the proper instruments. So similarly, if we're going to see the personality of Godhead, if we're going to be able to perceive him, have the proper instruments. Actually, the instruments we already have are senses. However, our present material senses are contaminated. If we purify them, then we can have the qualification to see God. Now, in this verse, Krishna is delineating what some of those qualifications are. One has to be at least in the mode of goodness before he can understand. The mode of goodness is illuminating. And the way it is attained is, in previous lives, one has to act piously, both in previous lives and in this lifetime. One has to be free of sinful activities. And if he can do that, then he will start to become free from the dualities of delusion. Moha. The delusion is that we think in terms of me and mine. We identify with this material body and mind, our emotions, everything connected with this temporal existence, and anything that happens to this body and mind is experienced as myself. So therefore, we are constantly deluged by so-called enjoyments and sufferings of this world. One has to become free from this moha, this delusion. It has nothing to do with our real self. Our real self is completely transcendental. That's a philosophy. But unless, even if one accepts this philosophy, he will not be able to understand it in fact, unless he's free from sinful activities and he acts piously both in previous lives and in this lifetime. Only when one comes free of the duality of delusion will he be qualified to perceive the personality of Godhead? And if he engages in bhajante man, bhaj means to worship, and ante means end. So bhajante means to engage in the process of devotional service. So those that are sinful and overcome by dualities, trying to gain things from this material world to avoid suffering. Of course, everybody can try and avoid suffering. But if we're trying to gain as many enjoyable things as we can, and unnecessarily trying to avoid sufferings that are beyond our control, then we're caught in this duality, and we can't engage in devotional service with determination. But when we accept that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of everything, and we have nothing to do with this material world, then instead of trying to change things within this world, we're satisfied with things that come of its own accord, and we peacefully execute devotional service with determination. As long as we want something in this world, or we're lamenting for what we have lost, we cannot have drita vrata. Vrata means a vow, and drita means fixed or with determination. Just like dhruva means determination. So drita vrata means someone who is made a vow that cannot be broken. Devotees make the vow to worship and serve the Supreme Personality of God because they've seen the naked form of this material world, that it's a place of suffering. And the spiritual world is the most enjoyable goal for the devotee. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport quotes this verse from the 5th canto, chapter 5, the instructions of Lord Rishabhdev, where instructing his sons, he tells his sons that mahat sevam, that one has to serve the great mahatmas, the devotees of the Lord. If one serves them, mahat sevam dvaram ahur vimukte, then the dvara is a door, gate, door, so dvaram, ahur, vimuktes, the door of liberation opens wide for him, that for those that serve the devotees of the Lord, they can show the path of liberation, and by serving them, one gains entrance into the spiritual world. And on the other hand, he also says, tamo dvaram, so we have matseva dvaram ahur vimuktes. And then on the other side, we have tamo dvaram. The door to darkness is opened by what? Yoshitam sangi sangam. Yoshit sangi means associating with either lusty or with women, or those who are very, very fond of women. Or in other words, too much absorbed in sex life. So whether we're in a man's body or in a woman's body, it doesn't matter. When we're absorbed in this topmost of dualities, then the door for darkness is wide open. So one who associates with the Mahatmas, they learn that this type of association is very detrimental for the prosecution of Krishna consciousness. It's just like when those that are not on the spiritual path learn that the devotees of the Lord follow regulative principles, the regulative principles of religion, such as no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, not even coffee or tea or cigarettes, and no illicit sex life. They think, God, what do you guys do? So by following these regulatory principles, then we gain qualification that we can begin our spiritual life. As long as we're not following the religious principles, there is no possibility that one can engage in devotional service with dritta vritta, with determination. And that we can follow by the verse of Srila Rupa Goswami, that devotional service begins with the preliminary faith, with adau, shraddha, then comes bhajana kriya, association with devotees, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, and then anartha nivritti, giving up of all sinful activities. Anartha nivritti has to be there, because until there's anartha nivritti, we can't go on any farther. We will not get nishta. We won't get firm faith. So that's what's being said here by the Lord, that one has to have anartha nivritti, free from all sinful activities, or if it's stated here, tavanta gatang papam, and then one will get bhajan te mong drita vrita, or the same thing as nishta, firm faith, determination to execute devotional service and advance in spiritual life. So, Prabhu, you forgive me. Of course, I didn't anticipate I was going to give a class tonight, so I didn't have a chance to even look at this verse. So this is the gist of what this verse is saying. I'm sure there's many other things that can be said about it. This is a very amazing statement by Srila Prabhupada, that the impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Yeah, they're so puffed up to think they're so spiritual, but actually being envious of the personality of Godhead, they're in a, this is very offensive, and it's completely against God's wishes. And we can look at these different types of personalities that are being described here, the sinful, the atheist, the foolish, and the deceitful. None of these have the eligibility to understand the personality of God, and they are blocked because of their sinful nature and mentality. They cannot understand or see the personality of Godhead. But I would like to stop at this time. It's our hour. Why don't we see if there's any comments or anyone would like to add anything? Oh, I've got to unmute everybody, right? I forgot. Sorry. Okay, unmuted. At least it should be. There. Yes, unmuted.
Okay.
So I don't know who's on Skype. We've got a few devotees, half a dozen devotees on free conferencing. So anything anybody would like to add to help bring out the meaning of this verse?
Prabhu, I'd just like to say, in the verse, right, it says that whose sinful actions are completely eradicated. And in the Prabhupada, Sri Prabhupada says that who have conquered sinful reactions can accept devotional service. So the verse is saying sinful actions, and the purpose of Prabhupada is saying sinful reactions. Is there any connection like that? Are they different, or are they the same in this particular context we're talking about? Actions and reactions.
We've been so fortunate. I'm kind of just so absorbed in Mother Irma's classes. I can just give an example that she gave about 2 months ago. I think you were there. You tuned into classes at that time. And she was very nicely pointing out how, just like a seed, if a seed falls in the ground, it'll start to sprout even without you trying. Just sometimes you just sprout out of nowhere. And then when it grows up, it fructifies. And what happens? It has more seeds. And those drops, and they create more seeds. And it just keeps on going like that. So sinful reaction, the reaction of sinful activities is more activities are connected to it, and it just starts to expand and grow and grow and grow. And it's like, how do you get out of it? So if one stops sinful activities, then the reaction of his sinful activities will begin to cease. And of course, the example is about the fan. It might be running, but as soon as you unplug it from the electricity, then even if it hasn't fully stopped, it's on the way to stopping. So similarly, sinful desires. This is an example that Srila Prabhupada gave on one lecture. I really appreciated the way he was saying it. Was really nice that when you have seeds and you can pull them up, but then as soon as there's an opportunity, then they come up again. You know, it's like you pull out weeds, but then the seeds are lying dormant. And then as soon as the rains come, then immediately they start to sprout up again. But if you take those seeds and fry them, then they can never fructify again. So by the chanting of Krishna's holy name, offenselessly, it fries the seeds of our sinful activities. So my understanding, when it talks about the reactions of sin, is it means it one sinful activity creates a new sinful activity. So if we perform something for sense gratification, then it creates a desire for more sense gratification, and so forth. So by engaging in devotional service, it'll stop that whole sequence, dead in its tracks, as long as you're chanting offensively.
Yeah. So we're talking about the cycle of sin, isn't it? So that is it. You commit a sin, then there are inclinations as well as unmanifested reactions. And these inclinations will make you do it again. Because once you commit the sinful action, you have an inclination. Yes. So I understand. Thank you.
You're welcome. As far as my understanding goes.
Yes, it's good.
I appreciate you giving the class, Ramananda Prabhu. Very nice. I couldn't have done as well as you did. Unfortunately, there was a lot of background on the free conferencing side, even after we supposedly muted them. But anyway,
really?
Yeah, if you recorded this, you'll hear it. At least I heard it. I don't know, maybe all the other devotees, I don't know why, but anyway, I see that this purport lends itself to this idea that we've connected with devotional service before, or we've had some previous life that qualifies us in some way, and whatever advancement we make, we keep. You know, it's like they say, you can't take it with you, but you can take your, you know, the eternal bank account is categorically separate from the, you know, the general karma that one gets entangled in lifetime after lifetime. If somebody creates some devotional service, either consciously or unconsciously serves a Vaishnava, that goes in the eternal bank account. And if, like Prabhupada would say, if you advance 1%, you take that to the next life. And after some lifetimes, it's going to add up to 100%, and then we go back to Godhead. So it two things I see in the purport. If one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. That's you know, accept a spiritual master, render service, submissive inquiries. And the association is so important. Prabhupada in that second paragraph says, if one associates with materialistic people, he's going to the darkest region. If he associates with devotees that are simply here to recover the conditioned souls, that is his great fortune. And we should avoid the impersonalists because they're committing offense to lotus feet by not recognizing that they're supposed to serve the lotus feet. They're trying to become liberated independently, practically, of God. They're merging into his effulgence, but really they're denying their own individuality, their own, you know, nitya, their own eternal identity as a servant of the Supreme Person. So if you don't mind, I'd like to share something that I just read in 11th Canto Bhagavatam that just has actually changed the way that I see some of what we, you know, it's the Uddhava Gita, and Krishna's talking to Uddhava. And there's this one particular verse that's just amazing. And but before I read that verse, I want to read the three that come before it. It's not too long. My dear Uddhava, this is 11th canto, chapter 14, 20th verse. My dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered unto me by my devotees brings me under their control. I can thus be controlled by those, I cannot be thus controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Shankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, or renunciation. Next verse. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one attain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees who take me as the goal or the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. Then the next verse, religious activities endowed with honesty and mercy or knowledge obtained with great penance cannot completely purify one's consciousness if they are bereft of loving service to me. So, actually, I have Bhumapati's truthfulness, compassion, religious principles, austerity, and knowledge cannot completely purify a person who's bereft of devotional service to me. And here's the verse, which reminds me of Bhaktivinoda's song, When Will That Day Be Mine? This is it. If one's hairs do not stand on end, how can the heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? If one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? So, last night, Gopa Vrindapal was talking about Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti. And we have been given practices to bring us to the spontaneous platform of devotion, but did Prabhupada, his question he begged at the end, did Prabhupada just give us rules and regulations, just Vaidhi? No. And he explained that Raghunuga Bhakti, spontaneous devotion, overlaps with Vaidhi, meaning the same activities, or some of the same activities that we will perform after we're liberated, also, they're very similar to some of the activities that we perform in Vaidhi, like worshiping, you know, and there's different types of worship going on with Radha Krishna in the spiritual world, but we're worshiping here. So anyway, it was a very nice explanation how there's an overlap with Raghunuga Bhakti and Vaidhi Bhakti. But here, it's pointing out in this verse that this hair standing on end is the heart melting. And if the heart doesn't melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? And if one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service? This is a beautiful verse. And in the purport, just the first line of the purport, it says, loving service to the Lord is the only process that can completely purify one's consciousness. Such service produces waves of ecstatic love that completely cleanse the soul. So these ornaments of emotional, these horripilations, this is not something that we're not going to experience at some point. It's going to happen at some point. And these emotional waves that come over us as we're absorbed in our bhajan, our devotion, they cleanse us of all previous contaminations. And there's nothing else that can do this. Not study of Vedas, not renunciation, not good behavior, austerities, knowledge, none of it. So it's got to do with the heart melting. You know, we've heard steel-framed heart, hard-hearted, you know, but we this heart not only has to become soft, it has to actually melt at some point. And that melting washes away everything. Did you find that interesting?
Yeah, I remember we did cover that verse a couple of months ago in Ravindra Shru's class. It's really, really nice.
Oh, he did. He mentioned it. Wow.
Well, we covered, that's in chapter 13 or something?
It's in chapter 14, 11th canto. Wow.
Very nice.
So how did he happen to quote this verse?
We're going through the entire 11th canto.
Oh, the classes are from the 11th canto?
Yeah, right now we're in chapter 15.
Are you archiving those classes?
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to hear that one.
Well, yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful verse. I'm sure Ishvara Prabhu knows it very well because he does the Uddhava Gita, translated the Uddhava Gita.
He translated?
Ishvara Prabhu. Or at least
yeah, translated and published the Vatican some time ago. With the commentaries of the Acharya, Krishna Chakravarti Pad and Slab Accidental Prabhupada.
Huh. Well, this is the first time.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It struck me. I read it. You know, Prabhupada would talk about becoming like fire, you know, entering the fire of devotional service and how you become purified by that. And that's also mentioned in the verses that follow. Anyway, it was the lights going on for me when I read this. I was just struck.
It's very nice.
Okay. So I'll have to find that class that you just mentioned.
I'll send it to you if you like.
Okay, great.
Okay, well, is there anything else? As always, Prue, I really appreciate your association going through the Bhagavad Gita like this. I wouldn't have done it on my own, most probably, but going through verse by verse like this in the association of devotees is very uplifting. So thank you for your association.
Yeah. Well, I was just telling Radharani this morning that you've completed our temple. You know, we have deities in the house, and we do some seva, but having a class every morning and evening is just, it's like completes the whole idea of being in a temple. It's like
Jai. Holy
Dham. Right.
We're constantly in the Holy
Dham. Brother Rupini, maybe when we go off, you can stay on for a minute. I wanted to answer your email. I didn't get a chance to
answer.
Okay, Prabhu. So.
Sure.
So anything else, Prabhu? Or otherwise, we can close up for the evening. So Pushkar is giving class tomorrow morning. And
okay.
Then Saturday, have a seminar by Vijayamani Prabhu, very scholarly devotee in Vaishnava theology. Okay, so thank you very much, Prabhu, for your association. Mahat Sevam.
Thank you, Ramananda Prabhu.
Ciao.
Hariwal.
Hariwal.